I'd like to dedicate this shmuz l'schus refuah shleima for Yehuda ben Penina. After all the tzaras that Yosef's brothers put him through when he was younger, selling him, getting him sold to slavery, ends up being put in jail because of them, and after all the care he provided for them, despite that, still at the end of this parsha we find more pain for Yosef HaTzadik brought about by the brothers. At the end of the parsha, they make up a story. They lie to Yosef HaTzadik for the sake of Shalom, Rashi says. They tell him, right after Yaakov Avinu dies, they bury him, they come back, and they say, listen, our father Yaakov ordered us to order you, to let you know that you should have rachmanis on us, you should forgive us. Yosef cries. Crying while they're talking with them. And he assures them, don't worry, I forgive you. It was all done by Kadosh Baruch Hu, orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why was Yosef crying? So it sounds like he's crying because he just heard that his own father suspected him of being a not very good guy, that he'd be willing to turn against his own brothers once his father's not around to get in the way. But it's Masha from the Medrash, the Mefarshim explain on the Medrash that that's really not what's going on here. Chashdu hu, he cried because they suspected him. He knew his father trusted him. He knew very well he had full confidence that his father, Yaakov Avinu, knew that he, Yosef HaTzadik, was Yosef HaTzadik and would not turn against his brothers. So he knew when they said, hey, he told us to tell you, you should be good to us even after he dies, he knew they were afraid of him, that they suspected he wasn't a very good guy, not a good enough person, and not being with, and that he someone who'd be willing to harm them. That's why he was crying. He was crying because he knew right away that they were making this up. If Yaakov wanted to tell him this, he would have told him himself. He knew it wasn't true. So why cry when somebody suspects you of something? Was he petty? They don't know how chashuv I am. They know what a good person I am. They should respect me more. I wish they knew what a good guy I was. And if anything, being suspected of something that you didn't do wrong is a good thing. Chazal say, it's ashrei, it's fortune as a person who's suspected of something and he didn't really do it. Lucky you, it's a big schus. And we find somewhere else where somebody is suspected of something and cries about it. It was actually, during one point in history, it was an annual occurrence. The first parak of Yuma, the Mishnah writes that Talmidei Chachamim would take the Kohen Gadol in preparation for Yom Kippur, and they would review with them the laws of Yom Kippur, and this is talking there about a tekufa where the Kohen Gadol was often not such a great guy. He bought his way in. He maybe didn't know the halachas and needed them to teach it to him. Maybe it sounds like from the Mishnayos there, that sometimes he couldn't even read Lashon HaKodesh. And when they finished giving him all the instructions, the Talmidei Chachamim said to him, the last thing they did was they said, okay, now promise us that you will follow the avodah, do the avodah exactly as it's prescribed, exactly as we just taught you to do it. And the reason they had to do this was because they were worried that Kohen Gadol was a tzaduki. And they used to do part of the avodah out. They believed you should do part of it outside the Kodesh Kedashim, not in it. And they wanted to make sure he was going to do it inside the Kodesh Kedashim, not outside. So you have to swear that you are going to do this properly. Because they thought he was a tzaduki. He could have been. At that time period, the Kohen Gadol could have been a tzaduki. Afterwards, when they finished making him swear, they'd walk away. And as they parted ways, he would be crying and they would be crying, the Mishnah says. Why would they be crying? The Gemara says, he cried because they suspected him. They cried because they suspected him. Why is he crying? So the Sfas Emes actually asked this question. The Sfas Emes there asks this question on the Gemara in Yuma. He asks, why cry? It's a good thing. That's where I got that question from. Ashrei, it's fortunate, a person who suspected something, it's a schus, he didn't really do anything wrong. So the Sfas Emes answers, they were just crying about the situation. They were sad that Klal Yisrael was at such a low point that they needed to worry that the Kohen Gadol was a tzuki. They were crying that Klal Yisrael was in a situation where that was necessary. Not that he was really crying, that he was being suspected. He was petty, he cared. It's a good thing. He was crying about the current matzav, where Klal Yisrael stood. There's footnotes in the Sfas Emes, written by Sfas Emes' son-in-law. He writes that the Yerushalmi doesn't really sound like that. Chazal sound like he was crying because he was suspected, not just about the situation. But I would ask on this another question. His answer doesn't work here. It's a good answer over there for Yuma, maybe, why the Kohen Gadol was crying about being suspected. But why did Yosef cry about being suspected? About the situation? That there are to do that? That doesn't really fit in here to our story to explain why Yosef at Tzadik was crying that he was suspected. Why cry that you're suspected? Same question the Sfas Emes asks over there. But his answer, Lechera, doesn't work over here. So I think we can answer very simply. It doesn't require a lot of lumdus at all. I think it's considered common knowledge that the foundation of all relationships is trust. If you don't have trust, you cannot be close with someone. If you don't trust someone, they don't trust you. If you know they don't trust you, when that trust is eroded, the relationship cannot survive. You're going to have hard feelings. You're not going to feel close. You won't feel any ava. You won't feel any friendship with the person. If you can't trust each other, you can't be friends. You can't be people who love each other. The ultimate relationship, the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate relationship had to start with the ultimate trust of Nasa V'Nishma. We trust you so much, we know you have our best interests. We totally trust you. That is the foundation of a relationship. The more you trust the person, the stronger, that is the foundation, the stronger the relationship can be. And if you sense that there's a lack of trust, then you're sensing a loss of that relationship. And that's painful. Feeling a loss in a relationship is a painful feeling. So when the Kohen Gadol sensed that Klal Yisrael didn't trust him, his flock, his people, who he cared so dearly about, who he gave his all to serve them, to help bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sensed that, what did they think of him? They didn't trust him. They said, you might be some schnook who's not even a maimon, not bikkuris. He's sitting there killing himself, working so hard on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and they don't trust him. Then yes, he cried, it's painful. He feels close with them, and he feels committed to them as their leader, as somebody who works on their behalf, and they don't trust him. That's not a relationship. The relationship has huge cracks in it. When Yosef HaTzadik sensed his brothers, who he loved so dearly, who he was so committed to, he did everything he can to help them, looked at him and said, you might be willing to take out your anger on us. You might be very angry at us and be willing to do something terrible to us. He sensed the lack of trust. He sensed the lack of relationship that he so wanted, that he was hoping was there, that he thought was there, and that clearly wasn't there. I remember when happened two times, that one of my rebbeim suspected me of doing something really not good. Something went wrong in yeshiva. This happened twice. And one of my rebbeim came over to me and said, Hanina, I heard this and this happened. That wasn't you, was it? Because people are saying that maybe you did that. And I was so hurt. I was so hurt. I said, I feel so close with you, my Rebbe. And you know me so little that you think I would do such a thing? And you trust me so little that you think I would do that? I tried to do the right thing. You think I would do that? It's painful when someone you feel close with does not reciprocate by showing trust in you. It's painful. I know personally, as a principal, I remember that story very often, and it's a very hard, it's a very difficult thing. Playing principal, trust me, it's not easy. And now I look at it and say, no matter how much I know and I care about and I love my Talmidim, I know they're teenagers and things go wrong, and I know that if I suspect somebody of doing something, it doesn't mean that I don't care so deeply about them. But at the time, it hurt me very much. It's painful. Something worth crying over. So, what do? If we want to protect our relationships, we want to be close with our friends, our siblings, with our parents, one day with our spouse, how do we protect those relationships? How do we preserve trust? Make sure that we have a trusting relationship with the people we care for. But let's look at this story and see if we could find a lesson here about what made things go wrong for the brothers. And the Medrash does this for us. The Medrash tells us two incidents that caused this to happen, that made the brothers not trust Yosef, to think that he was out to get them. One story, it says, as they were coming back from Yaakov Avinu's Levaya, maybe on the way to Levaya somewhere, in the process of the Levaya, they passed by the pit that they had put him into. And they saw Yosef HaTzadik stop and staring at the pit. And they said, uh-oh, we know what he's thinking. He is really angry with us. He's plotting. We know what he's thinking. Or another story it brings that fueled this was that they always ate together. When Yaakov Avinu was alive, they ate together. But when, once he died, Yosef stopped inviting them to eat with them. They said, see, it was all about making Abba happy. But really, he doesn't care about us, and this could be bad news. Really, what was happening, the Medrash says? He was staring at the pit and thinking to himself, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for rescuing me from this pit. Because he was always viewing, like he tried to assure the brothers again and again and again. He always viewed the entire story of him getting sold down to Mitzrayim as just an act of God orchestrated for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. But they didn't see it that way. They jumped to the conclusion, they assumed he was staring at it, thinking about some nefarious plan he was plotting against them because he hated them. He didn't invite them to eat with them because he had something against them? No, because he felt uncomfortable, that they would be uncomfortable eating with him, with him sitting at the head. When Yaakov was there, Yaakov said, you sit at the head, it came from the father, so they would understand. But now that Yaakov wasn't there to say, nah, this is me and I'm the one saying this should happen, it would be awkward for them, it would be difficult for them. He was having rachmanis on them. But they looked at it and said, oh, he's out to get us. He hates us. What went wrong? I saw it brought down from the altar of Nevardik. They again and again and again, from the time that he was telling them about his dreams he had, they're misreading, misinterpreting his intentions. They're following their own biases, their own assumptions about what Yosef HaTzadik felt and thought. And because of that, ascribing intentions that to Yosef that were not actually there. They took a mistaken view of Yosef and they ran with it again and again. Kept on viewing what he was doing in some horrible light. And honestly, in my experience, this is what always happens in machlokas or politics or fights or disagreements. They are almost virtually 100% of the time due to misunderstandings, due to somebody assuming that somebody meant something terrible when he didn't. I'm telling you, as the Menahal, I'm often in the role of peacemaker, arbitrator, trying to take people who are fighting and saying, let's see what happens, and I am telling you 99.9999% of the time when people don't like each other, angry at each other, fighting with each other, it is for this reason, is because they are mistakenly making assumptions about what somebody else is thinking or feeling about them. They did something, they meant something terrible by it. I'm telling you. And in politics, disagreements and things that happen in communities and in institutions, 99% of the time, in disagreements between different segments of Klal Yisrael. It's so easy to see sometimes. It's amazing that people don't see it. They're doing it just because they're Shayim, just because they're out to get us, just because, no, they mean well and they have a different view and they're coming at it from a different angle. You're not thinking about it the way they're thinking about it. So you're jumping to these horrible conclusions. This lesson of why the Shvatim, how they eroded their trust of each other, was by you following their biases, by not assuming the best, by assuming there was some negative intention when it wasn't there. This is mamash, such an important lesson to remember forever and ever, especially one day when you're married. We have to be very careful to protect the trust we have between the people who we have relationships with. The way to do that is not to jump to conclusions, to know. When we assume things, it's very much based on our own bias, our own preconceived notions. If you ever get angry at somebody, stop yourself and say, wait, I think Rabbi Sendra told me that whenever somebody gets angry, it's almost always because of a misunderstanding and not legitimate, because that's the way it is. And maybe in the schus of our dear friend Yehuda, we can all work on this, on strengthening our relationships and strengthening our resolve to not be pulled into the silly biases that lead us to have negative feelings about each other, about other members of Klal Yisrael.